Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Guys, make sure to stop in the Solace Meds. They've got four convenient Colorado locations, one in Fort Collins, one in Wheat Ridge, one off of Broadway, and one just blocks away from the DNVR bar on East Colfax. When you stop into any of those locations, make sure to drop the code DNVR20 when you're at checkout. First of all, you'll get 20% off, and if you're at the Wheat Ridge location, you'll get a free Solace Bar or King Cone. Secondly, when you just mentioned DNVR, they treat you like a VIP at Solace Meds. So stop in there today. Any of their four locations, one in Fort Collins, one in Wheat Ridge, one off of Broadway, and one just blocks away from the DNVR bar, drop the code DNVR20 for 20% off. They've got tons of other deals going on throughout the month of July as well. All Wana, 25% off. All Green Dot Concentrates, 20% off. All Open cured resin cartridges, 20% off. Tons and tons of other deals as well. So stop in there today. Solace Meds.
There we go, Vote. There we go. What is up, guys? What's up?
What's up?
Welcome to the DNBA show, the DNVR Nuggets podcast, presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Make sure to use the code DNVR when you sign up and download DraftKings Sportsbook. We got a jam-packed Monday show today. As always, we got the Monday mailbag. We got your submitted questions. We're also going to go a little long and do a bonus DNVR members only podcast where we answer even more questions. We give you the real take. We give you actually our real opinion.
We have nothing better to do. We don't. We'll be here answering your questions all day long.
We're also going to go over a very interesting prospect who I am very, very intrigued by. Miles McBride, known as Deuce McBride. So we will get into him in depth as well and talk about everybody else who came through Ball Arena for a pre-draft workout this morning here on a Monday. Let me introduce my esteemed colleagues to my right, Brendan Vogt. How's it going, man?
Good, man. I know you guys, we have a jam-packed show. I was thinking about derailing it from the start with just like talk about our weekends. How was your weekend, Eric?
It's the dopest. Did you say Eric or did you say Harrison?
Yeah, Eric.
Oh, okay.
They sound the same.
My weekend was fantastic. Everything I do is fantastic. Why would my weekend be any different? I just, like wherever I was, that's where I was at. And including,
that's terrible.
I went to the Rapids. I told you off pod, went to the Rapids game this weekend, the MLS soccer team here in Denver, and we got to ride with the supporters and go do a tailgate out there. It was totally awesome. And then nice. the game ended in a tie, and I left. I left like, yeah, that seems right. That totally seems right.
It's such a weird – soccer's so weird, man. I mean, baseball, it's one thing. You invest like 4.5 hours of your day, and then your team loses in the eighth inning. And like, you know, there's like a bottom – disastrous bottom of the eighth. And you're like, wow, that was the most deflating waste of time ever. However, soccer would like a word. You put two and a half hours in, no results. Nothing.
I know.
Nothing's
but
different.
I have to say, like, the experience was such that, like, it was, like, worth a goal. So we actually won 2-1. Yeah, let's go.
Lit. I like it.
I was in New Jersey for this weekend at a family wedding.
Did you say hi to my parents?
I did not. I did not see your parents, but had a great time. Tore up the dance floor. They're going to need to replace that dance floor after I got through with it. So, yeah, it was great.
I believe that. I want to see some footage.
That poor, poor dance floor.
By the time I was done with it. I went pontoon boating, guys. I was in on Lake Granby in Grand Lake. Absolutely gorgeous. That's just peak Colorado, as you said, off air, Eric. So I felt very I was assimilating one wave at a time, just hanging out on the float.
Grand Lake, you may remember, was engulfed almost entirely in flames last year.
You can see also, that the tree line. It's wild. It's crazy.
Also, unfortunately, peak Colorado. That's kind of what we do. We build it up. We burn it down, baby.
I've got a good pontoon boat story from the Grand Lake, actually.
Talk to me
if you want to hear it.
I did.
You can't tease something like that then not tell it. I have to hear this pontoon story.
It wasn't my fault. It was definitely not my fault.
Great start.
We almost sunk a pontoon boat in Grand Lake.
Almost. How'd you do that?
I was on a pontoon boat with, I think there were 8 of us, 4 guys, 4 girls. The girls all in the front of the boat, you know, just to take a picture.
Sure.
Classic move. The front of the boat starts to go down into the water. Wait on the front of the boat. Keys, wallet, phone, all on that little, you know, table right at the front of every pontoon boat. All that stuff slides off right into the water. The boat goes about a third of the way in. I forget who it was. It might have been me. Said like, all right, we all got to run to the back of the boat.
Eric, can you hear? I can't hear him.
Nope. Totally okay, clicked out.
Cool. Unbelievable start. We are in peak off season form. Well, that was a cliffhanger. That was a cliffhanger.
From what I understand.
Sorry. There we go. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
What did you hear? Where did I leave off?
Everyone died was the last thing that I heard.
Yeah, the last thing something about you committing a hate crime or something. if you want to fill it in.
The front of the boat started to go down, and I was like, or somebody was like, everybody run to the back of the boat to like get it leveled out. Luckily, we did it. We lost one phone. We did not lose the keys. That was like sliding off that little front table at the front of every pontoon boat. And so we almost sunk a boat in the middle of Grand Lake.
Yeah. We lost one phone, one friend, but I think we all agreed it could have been worse. Yeah, that's right. I like Harrison will finish this story behind the paywall.
Yeah. now they're all hooked. Like if I don't know how this ends.
It ended with a pontoon boat not at the bottom of Grand Lake, which is good.
Happy to hear it. Happy to hear it.
So it ended with just standard pontooning.
Yeah. Yeah, standard okay, pontoon boating.
Wow, great start. Great start, guys.
I have another pontoon story that I could tell behind the paywall, but
yeah, we'll do that. We'll do that. We'll lead with that.
We'll see. So, to get to some news here on Monday morning, the Nuggets had another pre-draft workout at Ball Arena. Look, we got the draft 10 days away?
That's right.
July 29th. So, this thing's coming in hot and heavy. They brought in 6 guys for a pre-draft workout this morning, Monday morning. 3 of them, I think we should focus in on. Deuce McBride, who we're going to spend a bunch of time on today and kind of break down some of his strengths and weaknesses, where he could kind of fit into this Nuggets team, if he'll even be available at 26. Mm. Josh Primo also came in for a pre-draft workout, who we've talked about at length on this podcast already. But a new name that we haven't, also popped into Ball Arena on Monday, Jeremiah Robinson Earl, 6'9", forward from Villanova. Vote, do you know anything about Jeremiah Robinson Earl? Are you intrigued by him at all? What do you think of them bringing in him and Miles McBride and Josh Primo today?
Yeah, I know very little about him. I was, you know, definitely more prepared to think about Primo and McBride. But I know Robinson is a 6'9 forward, and so that's a body type you're always down to bring in through the draft. But honestly, this is not a guy I sort of had circled before we spoke with these guys today. So I'll defer to you, Wind, and your vast wealth of basketball knowledge.
Well, the one thing I knew about Robinson Earl before today and speaking with him is he's from Villanova. And one of my draft strategies is, and has always been, when in doubt, draft somebody from Kentucky. Another draft strategy is, when in doubt, draft somebody from Villanova. Because Villanova might not produce stars, but they produce a lot of really good role players. So could Robinson Earl be another really good role player? Like, yeah, I think the ingredients are there. He's a little bit of a weird player. He's not like what you would think of in terms of a prototypical, like, top-notch prospect. He's 6'9". He's 230. I think he's definitely more of a 4 or 5 than a 3. He's a really good rebounder, averaged 8.5 rebounds per game last year, 15.7 points per game for Villanova. Not much of a three-point shooter. Was only really a 70% free throw shooter as well. The form doesn't look great. So, like I said, I think he's kind of maybe even more of a throwback 4-5 type guy. A lot of people came at me and said they kind of think he's similar to a Kyle Anderson type. Not like the most incredible athlete, but a really sound player. I will say I did get some Trey Lyles vibes from watching him, which I wasn't too excited about. I feel like he'd be Trey Lyles if Trey Lyles was good at all the things that Trey Lyles was supposed to be good at.
When you say Trey Lyles, do you mean like low motor, like big Eeyore energy? Like, what are we talking about?
Just kind of like moves in slow motion almost. But it's not because I don't think Jeremiah Robinson Earl has a low motor. I just don't think he's a very quick guy, you know?
Right. Right.
I love that. Like every slow player is just always Kyle Anderson. Just every single time.
Like there aren't many slow players in the NBA. That's the reason why. There aren't many. There's like
there's actually a surprisingly, there's like more than you would think there should be. I mean, Luka Doncic is a slow player. He's not particularly quick. There's a bunch of guys like this that are just like high skill but low speed.
Right.
Sort of. I don't know.
So, Wynn, what is his role in the NBA? So he's 6'9", but you think he's more of a 4. I mean, what's the defensive versatility? Is there any? And is this, are you looking at like a plug and play kind of like can rebound, can score, can finish on second chance opportunities, or do you see him as much more than that? Obviously, he was quite successful at the collegiate level.
Yeah, I mean, probably a backup. Long-term on a really good team, but he's still pretty young. He only spent 2 years at Villanova. It's not like he's a Chris Duarte type who has reached his ceiling, but you know, just because I don't think he's a great athlete, I don't know like what the overall ceiling is. And it's also interesting that they had him in a workout against a couple really quick guards. Well, maybe not quick, but a couple offensive minded guards or guys who can do a lot of things offensively in Deuce McBride and Josh Primo, because one of the knocks against Robinson Earl is obviously like, can he guard guards? Can he guard smaller guys? Could he switch out onto the perimeter and guard those guys? So having him against Primo and McBride, I bet Denver was able to see that today.
Smart.
Yeah.
So are you like, where does Robinson Earl fall for you in terms of the like allure, right? Like, are you all over this guy? If he's there at 26, that's fine. Is he a trade up? Like where do you sort of tier him out in terms of guys we're looking at?
I mean, it seems from the mocks I've been seeing, 26 is a little early for him, but you know, if the Nuggets, like if he's their guy, like they could maybe take him there. I'm not in love with him by any means. I think there's probably a lot more guys out there that you would be much more intrigued by.
I'm looking at an image of him now. He looks a little bit like Kyle Anderson. Like physically, I think that might be part of what everybody's keying in on. He's sort of like an approachable face, I would say, a little droopy.
Yeah, Jake says he reminds him of Dario Saric. I don't think that's a bad comp at all, a Dario Saric type.
What's his best skill?
I think rebounding, like rebounding and just motor and playing hard.
Sure.
I think that's his best skill. And maybe his best skill is honestly is from Villanova. Like not to sell him short, but Villanova guys have really good rep right now. So I feel like he's got that going for him.
They definitely all seem coachable, right? Like the type of guys you can mold into back-end rotation players.
Oh, for sure. I mean, just think of all the Villanova role players in the NBA. Like Josh Hart, Dante DiVincenzo, Jalen Brunson, Mikal Bridges. Like, and that's just in the last 4 years or so. So it's like role player you.
Sure. RPU, baby.
Yeah. What do you think of Primo, though, Vogt? We've talked about him on the pod a little bit. It seems like his range is still in that, like, maybe late teens to early second round. Yeah. How intrigued are you by Josh Primo?
It's a pretty wide range, isn't it? It just seems like an upside pick to me. So, like, it just comes down to sort of philosophy with where the Nuggets are at, right? I mean, if you believe in that pipeline, if you think they're going to fill out this rotation in terms of playable guys through free agency, well, they'll be very limited, by the way, then you're a little more comfortable with Primo, who I think has the upside to fit into a very interesting, maybe, you know, verging on unique kind of player to pair with some of the guys you have in Denver, particularly Jokic, which is where it always starts. But it does seem like it's more of a longer play. And so to me, like, that's just when I hear Primo, it's like representing a lot of that to me. He is the other end of the spectrum of the Duartes and all that we've talked about. But I know, like, I know a couple of people who love Primo, who are really high on this guy. So, I mean, if he's at 26, if he's still there, I think the Nuggets have to think long and hard about it.
Yeah, he's like another one of those slow players too, but looks like he can just shoot. Like, how? I mean, can you have more than one Jokic speed player on the court at any given time? Is it okay to have two guys trailing every play?
I also have questions about his shot selection and immediate sort of feel for the game, which that's all stuff that can change at the next level depending on your coach, the context you come into. But like, learning how to play within what the Nuggets like to do at their best in a half court offense is certainly different than some of the ways that he was successful in his brief time in college.
The one takeaway I had from his press availability today after the workout is he is obviously really young. I think he's the youngest player in the draft.
He is.
Yep. He just looks really young too, man. You could have told me he was 14. I'd be like, yep, 14. He looks like the youngest player in the draft. So it's definitely going to be a project with him, I think. I don't think any team that takes Josh Primo is going to expect him to play minutes in year one, obviously.
Or even maybe year two, right? He's 18 years old, guys. So that's, I mean, that's your, like, your prize G League guy, right? If that's the pick, at least right away.
Yeah, Primo was asked what guys he could see himself emulating or playing like that are in the NBA right now. This was interesting, I thought. He said Devin Booker, Bradley Beal, and he said Will Barton. Now, when you ask NBA prospects to compare themselves to players in the NBA, you never hear like a Will Barton level player. It's always like the guys Kobe. I said just a second ago, like Bradley Beal, Devin Booker, Drew Holiday, like all-star level guys. You never hear a prospect compare himself to Will Barton. So I thought that was interesting. I didn't know if that was just a pander to the Nuggets and whoever was watching,
you know,
or if that's actually what he thought.
Yeah, he's saying like, yo, I know that Will Barton declined his player option yesterday. Yeah. Like, if he was on like another man. Will Barton, like, look no further.
I think it's kind of smart. I think it actually is a tailored pander play. I would be interested to see, does he pick a player like that in each team market that he's that
he goes and works out for the Spurs? You know, a lot of people compare me to DeMar DeRozan.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. And by a lot of people, I just mean a couple people in the DNBA show comments. And I saw that and I took it and ran with it. But yeah. No, I mean, Adam comped him to Barton, didn't he? He's definitely got one of those in-between body types, moves at a different pace, kind of the herky jerky slithery motions. I like the idea, if he really meant it, of a guy like that carving out a Barton-esque role for himself, which, as we know, guys, is more than just tertiary scoring, playmaking, rebounding, a much more all-around player than some realize.
I mean, yeah. I think that you buried the lead a little bit. Like, This guy clearly watches the show and is interested in what Adam, what comps Adam has come up with.
That's what I'm saying. Him, so it's a plus. Is it?
Actually, Josh, you're primo in our hearts. Let's go. Let's make this happen.
Finally, we got to get to the main featured attraction of the workout, I think, today. Deuce McBride, or Miles McBride, his formal first name. Really interesting prospect who's currently slated to go anywhere from the mid to late teens to the early second round. So it certainly feels like a lot of guys that could be available around number 26 or Denver's picking have really big draft ranges. Mm-hmm. So I feel like it's kind of tough to get a gauge on where a lot of these guys will go. The pros for Deuce McBride, at least from what I see, first of all, great name. Yeah. Obviously a great name, Deuce McBride. I mean, that just rolls off the tip of your tongue. He is a really tenacious on-ball defender. Like, he is the type of defender who is going to press up into guys full court and just get a steal. Right. He played Cade Cunningham in Oklahoma State this season, and I think I sent Kale the link to the video I posted on my Twitter, if he can get that up soon here. But he was matched up against Cade Cunningham, the presumptive number one pick, and like made life hell for Cade Cunningham for parts of this game. Had a couple steals on him. Yeah, and here's the video right here. Like, look at this sequence from Deuce McBride.
Steals.
Picks Cade Cunningham's pocket.
Almost yams it on him.
A little bit of a weird finish, but got it to go. And then, like, this is a continuous play. Comes down and then just gets another steal right here. And this goes and slams it on him.
Oh, my God.
That's on the number one pick in the draft.
I was going to say, which one of those is the number one pick?
Yeah. So, like, Deuce McBride is 6 foot two, but he has a 6 foot nine wingspan. And you saw the wingspan come into play in both of those plays. And the other big pro that I think Deuce McBride has is he just kind of has an NBA offensive game. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is he's got a really nice pull-up game. He's going to come into the league, I think, like being able to get his own shot. He can pull up off the dribble. He can create space. He can just get his shot off against a lot of different types of defenders. So he's got some holes in his offensive game, I think. Like, he's not a great finisher at the rim. I don't think he got there a lot last year in college. He's a bit undersized at 6 foot two, but he's got the long wingspan. He can get off his shot. He's got a really nice pull up and step back game. And he's shown some really good stuff as a catch and shoot guy. I think he shot 30 of 65, 46.2% on catch and shoot three. So really good defender. And I just like what I see offensively from him.
And piggybacking off that, he spoke today and he comped himself to Drew and Marcus Smart. Correct. And so that's, first of all, two guys that, like, archetypes, this fan base, this show, us media members, you know, we've pined for that type of archetype on Denver. But also it says something about Miles McBride, understanding of who Miles McBride is and what his meal ticket is to the NBA. And it's cool. I like those comps because you're talking about a guy where the offensive skill set is not barren, right? There's things to develop. There's things that'll work at the next level. And he might fancy himself as more than just a defensive specialist. But it does seem like he understands, like, how do I get drafted? How am I most valuable here in this class? It's presenting myself that way, right? In workouts, interviews, playing that way. And look, like, those type of guys are the kind of guys that go out there and get your rotation spots, you know? Not necessarily viewing themselves as superstars, but the type of players that every team needs. And certainly Denver needs it. McBride is very, very appealing to me, guys.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen now 11 seconds of him, but like I told Harrison, a very impressive 11 seconds. I'm in all the way. Also, Deuce McBride. Like, can you imagine the heyday that Chris Marlowe would have with this? Deuce for Trey. Deuce for two.
I've been drafting tweets in my head all morning.
I think about Deuce also, like, yeah, Deuce for Deuce. Deuce McBride also sounds like the head of, like, a 1950s motorcycle gang. Like, he comes, kicks down the door of the malt shop. Oh, Deuce is here.
Yeah,
slicks his hair back.
Owns a couple of dance clubs.
I like it. I mean, I the fact he, I mean, he looks like, again, in those 11 seconds, like a tough, tenacious defender, something that Nuggets are sorely in need of. I mean, we just need tough guys, right? Like, we just need a-holes. If he's really like built in that Marcus Smart sort of archetype, like that sounds to me exactly like what we could use.
Yeah. Like, how long have we been trying to get Marcus Smart on the Nuggets?
Like, years.
For years.
And there was a two
talking like a deuce.
These are highlights from that same game against Oklahoma State. I'm pretty sure it was the same game. And I think he took like three charges in one half in this game.
Incredible.
I love that. Like, we don't always, I mean, our offense is, especially with Jamal Murray intact, you know, I mean, our offense is good. You know, we don't always need guys that are knockdown shooters that are, you know, offensively gifted. We need guys that are just like willing to get their nose dirty, right? Like, guys that'll get in there and mix it up and sort of just like make things difficult on the other end of the court. It's funny. Basketball's so funny. You know, it's like the one thing when you're watching it, like, you really just only notice offense if you're like not really paying attention.
There's one of the charges. Yep.
But defense, 50% of the game, pretty important.
Pretty important. But the other thing, though, is like, look, in that we saw like limitations rear their head for some of these defensive guys. Like, everyone wanted to see Shaq Harrison play more in the playoffs, terrified of what that would do to the offense. So Harrison, it sounds like, to call McBride a defensive specialist, that's meant as a compliment, but is it reductive? Because you sound like you like his offensive skill set here.
Yeah, and I mean, you just see him rip the ball from Cade Cunningham right there and then just go and take it the other way. Yeah, his offense is really interesting because he's got that pull-up game. And you've seen it a little bit in these highlights, and I think you'll see it a little more over the next couple of minutes. But he's got the pull-up game, and he also shot it well from three last year. His form looks a little unconventional. Here's the sequence, D-line, just get ready. His form looks a little unconventional, but it goes in. So it seems like he's going to be a good three-point shooter. And the pull-up game, for me, it just means that, like, he's going to be able to create space and get that shot off at the NBA level. So I think he's just going to come into the league, even though he is a little undersized, with just a go-to offensive move, which I like a rookie coming into the league just having. And look, like, I know he didn't get to the rim a lot at West Virginia, but he's a good enough athlete. Yeah, there's the pull-up game right there. He's a good enough athlete. He's a good enough ball handler where I feel like that's going to definitely be a skill of his at the next level. So, yeah, sure. I'm really high on him.
Yeah, I'm definitely intrigued. I'm definitely intrigued.
So my two questions, Harrison, are: how would you project his minutes as a rookie in Denver? Is he playing in the G League? Does he – crack a rotation sooner rather than later?
Well, man, that's tough because, you know, right now we don't know what's going to happen with Will Barton.
Sure.
I mean, they've got Monte Morris, Faku, PJ Dozier under contract next season. You know, I think he could definitely use some time in the G League, but I feel like he's, you know, more NBA ready than a lot of, you know, sophomores, right?
Sure.
Like, I think he's more NBA ready than a lot of guys who only spent a couple years in college. So I could see him, you know, playing spot minutes next year, potentially. Think about what RJ Hampton's role was like for Denver. And RJ Hampton was even younger and way more raw. You know, he came in and kind of gave Denver some spot minutes. So I could see him playing kind of that kind of role and even playing a little more probably.
And then finally, philosophically, it's so weird with the Jamal injury. Are there too many guards? Like, if they take another guard, is that just too many roster spots for guards? Or, as we learned last year, you can never seem to have enough, I guess, if all goes wrong.
Yeah, I mean, I think what Denver has to – I think what Denver has to think about going into next season is, like we just need – capable guards. We just need capable guards, as many as possible. Like,
yeah,
Monte, Faku, PJ. Yeah, like, we can trust all those guys. We could probably use another one. You know, like, is Marcus Howard that guy? Maybe. I don't know. Like, I would roll the dice with signing another guard in free agency or getting one in the draft. I feel like you could use another one.
Sure.
Yeah.
And then yeah. also go, please, Eric. Please.
I was going to say, I mean, obviously, like, so much of this is going to be determined by what happens with Will Barton. You know, is he part of the team? Are we looking to replace the 2/3? Like, are we, and again, like you said, with Jamal Murray's status, like, how much are we going to have to rely on scoring to come from, you know, other sources throughout the entire year? I mean, like, we are in such a weird position, like, so much flux. Like, you don't, and it, to me, it's like when you're drafting, I mean, hopefully you're not drafting for need at this exact moment in time. You're just drafting the best guy that you can get, the guy that you see, you can, like, see the most promise in. The only issue, obviously, with this guy in my mind is his height, you know, and that doesn't have to be an issue, but it just, if you're just going down the line of, like, typical NBA physical sure. skill sets that you're looking for, I mean, a smaller guy does not typically get you that excited.
He is longer, though, as Harrison pointed
out. Yeah, obviously tons of examples of guys that are able to make it work that are shorter. But, you know, I mean, if just in again, in my extensive scouting that I've done of Deuce McBride, that's like the
well,
one.
Well, no, it's a good point because, like, with Gary Harris, who some have sort of comped him here, too, from the Denver sort of side of things, like, Gary was the best perimeter defender on the team by a country mile. But the versatility, because of his size or lack thereof, also reared its head. Like, there was no matchup in the Western Conference Finals. So maybe a similar thing with him. The height is definitely a con.
Yeah, the height's a little concerning, 6'2". Like, if he was 6'4", he's probably a lottery pick, at least I think. Mm.
We should probably move on, take a little break, boys.
Yeah, let's hit a break real quick. When we come back, we'll get into the Monday mailbag, questions from you guys. That'll carry us throughout the rest of the show. First off, got to say, Mile High City Copper Lager. Guys, pick some up this week from the Breck Brew Farmhouse. Pick some up from your local liquor store. Perfect for any occasion. You can recognize that Mile High City Copper Lager can. It's got that Nuggets Skyline Blue on it. It's got the Nuggets logo on it. Again, pick it up at your local liquor store. Pick it up at the Breck Brew Farmhouse. Also, go to StravaCraftCoffee.com. Use code DNVR25. You can get 25% off your order of Strava Craft Coffee if you're a first-time customer. Strava Craft Coffee, of course, packed with CBD, can help relieve long-term migraines, back pain, arthritis, IBS, tons of other aches and pains as well. Get it for 25% off if it's your first time buying at StravaCraftCoffee.com with the code DNVR25. If you're a returning Strava Craft Coffee customer, use the code DNVR20 for 20% off your order. That's code DNVR20 for 20% off your Strava Craft Coffee order at StravaCraftCoffee.com. All right, back here on the DNBA show, the DNVR Nuggets podcast. We are presented, of course, by DraftKings Sportsbook. Make sure to use code DNVR when you download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Let's move on to some questions here on this Mailbag Monday edition of the show.
Let's freaking go, dude. I want to know what the people are thinking.
What do you guys
are questions out there?
What one of my favorite things of this show is, the entire show.
What's that?
It's when we do it live. Kale, we did not. We did not plan this out, so you just pull up those graphics you made, and I'll read those. You can
Okay, so we're finding out about these at the exact same time as everyone else.
That's right.
Okay, let's freak
preparations out. For losers at Omar Wynn. I really liked this. I thought it was an interesting talking point that just hasn't been a big talking point for us, at least on this show. Haven't seen much discussion about Aaron Gordon, only 25. What can he work on this summer, and what can Denver do to better incorporate him next season? Guys, I like this question because Gordon, I feel like we almost talk about him in the known quantities. He can be this elite defender. That's who Denver needs and wants him to be. But is he done growing? Again, only 25, full offseason here, only played in Denver a handful of games. Can he be more than he was limited to in that postseason run?
Well, I think the answer is definitely yes. And the easiest thing he can improve is his shooting.
Sure.
It's kind of been the thing with him his whole career. He's been a bad shooter his whole career. I think he can get better, though. And if you're playing in a Nuggets offense where he's going to get a lot of open shots, this should be the number one thing he's working on. And I think in the past for Aaron Gordon, his role has been, oh, that number one or number two offensive option guy. I'm going to be a creator. I'm going to dribble and put the ball between my legs and like get to the rim and dunk on people. That's not his role anymore, or at least right now in Denver. So for him to maximize himself on the offensive end of the floor, he's got to become a better shooter. Only shot 26% from three with the Nuggets since he came over from Orlando in that trade at the deadline. And in the playoffs, I don't think he was good. Yeah, he actually was terrible from three in that Phoenix series, was actually pretty good in that Portland series. But that's the thing he needs to work on most offensively. And the other one, I think will just get better with time, and that's just kind of familiarity with playing with Jokic and cutting and dunking and playing off the ball and just learning Nikola Jokic. Like, the more you play with Nikola Jokic, the more you just learn how he wants you to play. So I think that part of it will just kind of come naturally.
Please.
I was just going to say, like, it's such a strange concept to me that guys that have played basketball their entire lives, warm up before games, spend all of practice shooting, like, don't have, like, at a certain point, like, aren't you just not that good at shooting? Like, is it like realistic to expect that guys just get suddenly better at shooting when they've been, I mean, that's what you do when you are practicing. You know, I mean, like, I know that
there's always like if Jason Shaq developed Kidd, a jump shot, he'd be the goat, you know? It's like, yeah, but
yeah, yeah, it's like always like Jason Kidd, they always talk about developed a jump shot late in his career, but I feel like it's like, you know, guys that don't shoot well, you're just like, well, you just need to develop a jump shot. And it's like, well, that it hasn't been that been your entire life leading to this point. Like, at a certain point, like, isn't this guy, shouldn't we just maximize or just focus on the things that we know that he is good at, which is being big, being athletic, being able to cut to the rim, being able to, like, to me, it's like he just, oh, look who it is.
Echo Johnny come lately.
Did you pop in specifically because you didn't like my take just now? Are you here just to refute what I'm saying? Is that what's happening?
Eric, you know perfectly well I wasn't listening to your take.
That's true. I do know that. I do know that all too well. Welcome, Adam, to the DNBA show. AKA the DNBR Nuggets podcast. I was just saying, like, I feel like Aaron Gordon, Adam, do you think as a basketball person, a person of basketball who has played basketball, is it realistic to constantly look at guys that don't shoot well and just say like, well, he just needs to develop a jumper when he's 25 years old? Hasn't he been attempting to develop a jumper his entire life? At a certain point, like, isn't he just not good at shooting?
Well, I'm getting a message from Kale. I can't has or has not. My echo cancellation, one of the two, whatever it is. Kale, I don't know. You mess it up anymore. are you asking if you can teach somebody to shoot?
I'm asking, is it realistic to look at a player, specifically Aaron Gordon, and say,
how much better?
We just need him to develop a jumper. Like,
100% is it unrealistic? Like, Aaron Gordon is not a spring chicken. He's 26, I believe. So he it's not that he is what he is. It's just that he's not going to become a shooter. He's not going to become a meaningfully different player than what he is. He might get a little bit better at catch and shoots. Although you look at his form, it's not even that, like, he doesn't have like this beautiful form that you're like, man, there's just little tweaks. So yes, I think it's unrealistic to expect Aaron Gordon will be that. I don't think it matters. I think you can afford to have one, maybe two, and Denver already has three good shooters. So you can have one guy that can't shoot and that's okay.
I wonder if the biggest improvement guys can come from, you know, a lot of it is the staff, you know, understanding Aaron Gordon, and there seemed to be far more ways to use him when it was that five man starting lineup, the one that was probably the best five man unit in the league, at least at that time. They seemed to have a couple different tricks up their sleeves with, here's how we will take advantage of the way that our guys, you know, bend a defense and slide Aaron Gordon in there. And then it did seem like as those injuries came, they didn't know quite what to do with him, right? Okay, go stand on the wing, you go do this. And so I wonder if getting the most out of Aaron Gordon comes down to reps with the squad, the healthy squad, and the staff sort of figuring that out.
Yeah.
I honestly think it'll be more or less like it was in the, I know it's a small sample size, but in that 7-day window. And if you recall, he was averaging like 12 to 14 almost every single game. It was very consistent. And I just think that's what it is. You're not going to run a lot of plays for him. Maybe, I don't know his personality well enough to say this, but maybe he's a guy that wants three or four touches a game, but you're almost punting on those. Like, it's just, it's a token. Okay, we'll give you that post up every half and we'll give you a couple pick and rolls or we'll run that special play. But I just – it doesn't matter. I mean, he's a guy that can finish plays, you know, at the rim. He can offensive rebound, and he's going to be a hell of a defender. So, to me, he works in that regard. Is this regards, though, did the question come – was the question about Aaron Gordon? Was it about the draft? Because I was listening –
It's about Aaron. The question was, like, what can we expect – Aaron Gordon's only 25 years old. Like, what can we expect of him? Like, is he done developing? Like, is – you know, right. What do we think like appreciable changes would be to his game?
I mean, I think the defensive aspect, like we haven't seen the best of his defense. We saw it a little bit. I mean, we saw it briefly. I know we keep going back to that 7-game sample size, but the game he had against Kawhi Leonard, which is like his second or third game with Denver, that was not a good defensive performance. That was an elite defensive performance. And you're watching Drew Holiday right now in the finals give elite defensive performances in ways that cancel out guys who have dominated the playoffs to this point. I'm talking right. about Chris Paul. That is just so valuable. And if Aaron Gordon can be that guy where you go into a series and you say, you know, just a hypothetical, can you beat a Kawhi, Paul George team? Well, that's going to be tough. But if you can just erase one of those and say, okay, can you beat Kawhi? Yeah, we got enough weapons to beat Kawhi. Paul George is irrelevant now because we took him out. And I think that's what Aaron Gordon represents. And then offensively, the where I think he scales for Denver is just more in learning where he fits into this, like mm-hmm. being a better cutter because he now recognizes the flow and the rhythm sure. of the team and those types of things.
And lastly, I just want to say it was such a short sample size, but that's where my focus goes from last season. The whole thing wraps up. You go, okay, can they put that back on the floor again? Because that was good enough to win it all. And of course it didn't shake out that way, and that's how it goes. But yeah, I still like the idea of Aaron Gordon in Denver quite a lot.
Yeah.
All right, Kill, feed me, baby. At Bronco Squatch, friend of the show, with the Barton News. Friend, do you earth. Trust friend of my earth. Friends, friend of my mom, I think. Actually, at Barton News, weird. Do you trust PJ's jumper enough to start him next to Gordon? Or will Denver for sure need a starter in free agency? If
Barton great question, no surprise. It was a great question from Jake,
Who's not friends with my mom. She just texted me. She agrees with you guys. She thought the joke was weird.
Man,
open floor.
We've seen PJ Dozier. We've seen his jumper be all over the place. We've seen it be knocked down, absolutely consistent. Other times you come in, you're like, dude, this guy needs to learn his role. Like he's just shooting way too much. It's not going in enough, not nearly efficient enough for the amount of times he's trying to assert himself into the offense. I don't know what and where it lands is like, I have no idea. Like sometimes I look at PJ Dozier. I'm like, this is the guy, dude. This is composure, dude. This is everything we need. He's got the length. He's got the defensive prowess. He's got the jump shot. And then other times we're like, go to the goddamn bench. Go to the bench. So I don't know where we live.
Man, I don't know, man. This is a tough question because I'm really high on PJ Dozier, but like, is he ready to take Will Barton's role next season? Maybe. I think maybe. Like, I think the Nuggets think he might be able to. I think I would feel okay with PJ Dozier starting. I'd be a little uneasy, but I think I'd be okay with it.
I was just going to say, to me, this starts to feel like a little bit of like death by a thousand paper cuts, like death by inches, as Vic Fangio says the Broncos need to avoid, but then just leads them into death by inches. But it's like not like PJ Dozier is not a bad replacement for Will Barton, but he's a little bit less, you know. We just have like, we don't have Jamal Murray. We have like guys that just like a little bit, it's like a little bit. And all of a sudden you realize like, you know, you just don't quite have the firepower when you need to.
You're right that he is less, especially offensively. Like he doesn't shoot as well. He doesn't pass, you know, in the pick and roll and playmake. Here's my thing with PJ. He's a career – he's 66 out of 206 from three in his career. So it's not a huge sample size, but it's pretty consistent now over this year and last year that he's about a 32% three-point shooter, and I think that's right. Players like him, when you ask if a guy can get better, he's young enough. Okay, 32%. I think he could be a 35% three-point shooter. That's probably – I don't think he's going to be a 40%. He might have a 40% year where he just gets really hot or whatever, but I don't think he's going to be better than about a 35% three-point shooter. Can he be a better defender than Will Barton? I think there's no question. I think he probably will be as early as next year. And that part is just, you're watching these finals and you're watching the way that when you cancel out something a team does, it makes them so much easier to defend. And by the way, it also gives you so much confidence on the other end to make shots. I think one of the reasons Denver against, well, especially this last year against Phoenix, but even in part against the Lakers last year, one of the reasons that your offense can go through dry spells is you have no confidence that you're getting stops on the other end. So every possession feels important. Like, we can't afford to not score. And I think if you got an Aaron Gordon and a P.J. Dozier, P.J. Dozier continues to grow defensively, which I think he's shown the signs that he's been able to do that. You have two defensive aces. That now all of a sudden gives confidence to the other end of the court where he can knock down enough shots. And more importantly, he still has that pick and roll length and playmaking and ability to get to the rim that I think will serve Denver. So I say yes. I'm not saying it's a lock, but I think it's as good of a hope as Denver has right now. If you're just looking at the shooting guard spot, like, what are you realistically hope happens? PJ Dozier is as realistic of an upside as you can hope for.
And this is the significance of the opt-out. Maybe you do or you do not think Barton should get that long-term deal, but regardless, if he walks, it's not money added to the kitty. You're still looking at the full MLE to bring someone in. And so I agree. I like the way you frame that. If Barton moves on, Dozier's probably the best option, right? And there is some sort of long-term, if he develops into this guy, well, it makes quite a lot of sense. My whole thing with PJ is just pump the brakes. I like who he can be. I just feel like there's been a lot of attributing what he might do to who he already is. And like for me too, like with PJ, you're going to be doing some teaching, right? If you start it, like, hey man, here's your role with these guys. Here was what it looks like when you start. And here's how it'll change when Jamal comes back. With Barton, I don't know how much teaching you're doing, right? You kind of know what you're asking for from him and you trust, or at least I think the coaching staff trusts him to dial it back when Jamal returns. So there's that factor as well.
Gary Harris became worse of an offensive player than PJ Dozier. And that's why I think he fell off so much. Like, Gary Harris at his best was better. You know, he's a great shooter, 40% shooter or whatever, could get to the rim and finish with power or with finesse. PJ, though, I think can be a really, really good defender for Denver if that's what he chooses to become. Two things about PJ Dozier that are interesting. He's entering the final year of a deal, and he's the type of player where you say, hey, we need you to defend first and foremost. Well, that doesn't get paid. I'm sorry. It just doesn't. Like, a guy – so either you get a security, you know, an assurance from the team of some sort or an extension or whatever. You work something out so that you have him longer, and then it's easier to sell him on that. Or you know, he buys into that role because he knows he has a long-term deal here. But the second part with him that nobody talks about, he had knee injuries in high school that really is part of why he has kind of been a journeyman, is I think that there's this, like Michael Porter's back, there's this thing hanging over PJ Dozier's reputation that we just don't really ever think about or talk about. And I think that's also part of it is, you know, is he a guy that's going to be healthy for the next 4, 5, 6 years? I think a lot of teams think no. But, you know, you have a fully healthy season next year and you look great. A lot of teams will kick themselves.
Yeah. Well, it's not like he was exactly healthy last year. So, I mean.
At the end, right?
What's that?
Only at the end. I mean, he was healthy.
Yeah.
But he was healthy. Yeah.
It was just like he was only not available when we desperately needed him.
Should we hit one more break, fellas, and then wrap this thing up?
Is it kind
of, let's hit another break. Oh, I hear the music.
Dude, in comes Adam, and in comes the very faint sounding reggae music and some sort of just like beeping sound. It's fantastic, dude.
There we go.
Oh, wow.
I just kind of want to let this music cook for a little.
Dude, you know what I want to do right now? I just want to get on a pontoon boat. I don't know what it is.
Oh, pontoon? Oh, yeah.
Crash up into Grand Lake. Yeah, let's do it. Okay, Harrison, whenever you're ready.
I'm trying to find the read. So
no, welcome to my nightmare.
On a boat. Oh, no.
We'll stall with more music.
Let's talk about...
Eric, say something funny.
Oh, God. I never realized being on the spot. That's all I'm here for. I can't even pull it off.
Man. We at DNVR, we are now sponsored by Ball. Yes, as in Ball Arena, as in the aerospace technology company, as in the world's largest aluminum can and packaging manufacturer as well. Ball has been leading global sustainability efforts for decades. In 2018 and 2019, Ball Aerospace developed image surveillance systems to observe natural resources from space and methane, ozone, even land and water use. So they are a really cool company. Like I said, who's leading global sustainability efforts, and they've been doing it for decades. By 2030, Ball aims to reduce operational carbon emissions by 55% and across their value chain by 16% from their 2017 levels. If you want to work for Ball right here in Golden, Colorado, they're looking for really smart people to work at their Golden aluminum can plant. Text Golden to 77222 or go to jobsatball.com and search for Golden for more info. Jobsatball.com and search for Golden or simply text Golden to 77222. Also, right now at manscaped.com, DNVR listeners can get 20% off plus free shipping with the code DNVR. Again, that's at manscaped.com. Make sure to pick up your lawnmower 4.0 for the summer. An absolutely integral part of your summer routine. With the lawnmower 4.0, you get a 7,000 RPM motor, new multifunction on-off switch that can engage a travel lock. Also, that 4,000K LED spotlight. You've also got different blade lengths, sizes 1 through 4. You've got wireless charging. You've got the $39 carry bag as well. Get it all for 20% off with free shipping with the code DNVR at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code DNVR at manscaped.com.
This is the one thing like that I actually wanted to bring up with you guys. Like, not one of you has even mentioned the manscaping job that I did.
I didn't notice. All summer, I've been walking around, really showed us.
Perfectly so. Manscaped. Not one comment from any of you.
Well, it looks great, Eric. It looks great.
Thank you.
Also, guys, we have a big month of betting coming up because we've got the Tokyo Olympics. I think they're still happening. I think they're still going to happen.
Zach Levine's out. You see?
I did see Zach Levine's out. Yeah.
USA. Yeah. USA.
But right now, DraftKings is going to have really cool offers. They've got those going on right now, and they're going to have some really cool offers for the Tokyo Olympics. Place any pre-event wager of $1 to be eligible to cash $100 in free credits if America wins any medal this year. Just one medal. The U.S. just has to win one medal, and you can turn $1 into $100 in free site credits.
That's a lock. Basketball, I like it.
Yeah, that's an absolute lock, and I'm not talking about the USA basketball.
Thanks, Alex. Gold,
silver, or bronze. Yeah, so free money, free site credits at DraftKings.com right now. Make sure to download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app. Use the promo code DNVR when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 in free credits if America wins a medal. That's code DNVR to turn $1 into $100 in free credits for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Colorado only, new customers only, restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700.
Eric, are you the type of guy to give the people what they want?
Oh, you know I give the people what they want.
All right.
Oh, you want to make this, too soon.
This be specifically, hey,
here we go.
Yo, I started off the summer here. Yeah, you know what? Actually, forget it. No, let's cut.
Oh, crap. I don't know how to get back there.
Oh, yeah.
There I just realized that we don't have the NC-17 affixed to the front of the show. We could get into major problems if I drop my...
that's
my
true. Line.
Really? Yeah, okay. Let me check my BlackBerry it. Here. Oh, no, that's NC-17.
I had a friend when in junior high that would write raps. And yeah. He would write raps in his little...
Go on to become the CEO of a media company?
No, he did not. He actually may be a rapper. I have no idea. I haven't followed up with him, but he would write raps, and so that he wouldn't get in trouble if his parents found his raps, he had a little code word for each swear that he put in there. So
and that man's name was Marshall Mathers. Eminem. Yeah. That's crazy.
So he put like an A with a circle if he was going to drop the ASS. You know, everyone has to have a plan.
All right, perfect segue. Let's answer some questions. Super producer Kale, talk to me. What's good? Feed me the good stuff.
Oh boy, let's go.
Are there any European players that could be signed and brought over directly on the cheap to avoid battling other teams for free agents? Guys, it's not that I expected us to have a short list here, but I did actually, I just thought it was a good thought. Like, as we've talked about this before, you know, Denver's not actually going to have much cap space here. Is that something you think Tim might do, Harrison? It's something he hasn't been afraid to do in the past.
Yeah, of course, because he's done it for multiple years in a row.
That's right.
Okay. With Faku, Greg Whittington. It's funny. Like, we always talk about how, or we've talked about this for the last couple of years, how, yes, like, the Nuggets are going to be filling out their team with some minimum guys and some guys from Europe, but we never know who those guys from Europe are until they're on the roster, or at least right. I don't. My like, basketball brain can't keep track of all the prospects available in Europe.
I did Google Greg Whittington, time. If that's what you're getting.
Like, nobody knew who Greg Whittington was until
it's so funny,
was on the radar, you know?
It's so funny that we made the joke about him not existing, and then sure enough, he just, like, never existed.
But is there a chance he cut, like, they bring him back? What was his injury?
I don't think so.
I don't think so, because they cut him before. It wasn't like the season ended. They released him. But
they cut him because he was injured. They didn't cut him because...
Yeah, but that might have been his, like, break. Like, the sad thing is, we've made a whole joke out of his dream maybe ending, so that's good on us. But
that's a hilarious joke.
Hey, I'll tell you what. Caleb Agata, his name does keep popping up, and, you know... The question is, you're asking as if you wanted a list. Are there players? But the truth is, I don't know. But I do suspect that is going to be something that Tim Conley minds going forward. Meaning, I would not be surprised if there was not at least one player on the Nuggets roster. In fact, I would bet there's maybe two players on the Nuggets roster next year, not currently on it, that are just pickups. Maybe it's Caleb Agata. Maybe it's another guy. Maybe it's Caleb and somebody else. But yeah, I think
he's just texting Faku. He's like, all right, do you know any, like, 6'7"? Like, do you know any?
This is, like, Tim's superpower. And I'm sure that's, like, what keeps him, like going. Like, just being able to scout these players, find the guy, find Torrey Craig.
I think it's his favorite part of the game.
That's what I mean. Like, yeah. I would be shocked. Like, I would be stunned if some name we've never heard of before coming from some faraway, distant league that we learn of, at the same time we learn this guy's name, just pops up into our world. Like, of course, that's what we do.
Yeah, that's what we live for.
I'll tell that's you right now, my first bold prediction of the season is that whoever that guy is comes on the DNBA show. Thanks for hanging out.
Going to be Caleb Agata.
Just saying. All right, Kel, talk to me. There should be more in that old mailbag there. Okay, so another way the Nuggets have sort of found some success is dipping their toes into the undrafted pool, a la Marcus. So is there any wind? I know you're just layers deep. Like, you can't see the sun. You're so just buried deep underneath all this. Is there anyone that you have in mind that's like that, like a chucker who falls because of size or something like that?
I don't have any chuckers that fall. One of the guys I like who is projected as a late second rounder, could go undrafted, Nemeas Keita out of Utah State. Do you guys know about this guy? He's a 7-footer, just an absolute beast of a shot blocker, like, huge defensive presence, pretty athletic too. I watched him a little just because they played in the Mountain West, and like, there's a couple schools in the Colorado area in the Mountain West, Colorado State and Air Force. But he's super interesting, I think. I think he's worth a flyer for sure. And I definitely think a need for Denver is backup center. And I think he's intriguing for me. Like a 7-footer who's a big-time defensive guy. It's intriguing.
Cool. I'll take your word for it, Wendt.
We talked about this a little bit, but I do wonder if this year especially, I mean, the Marcus Howard thing last year, he could have gotten drafted. People kind of know when guys want to be there for second rounders or whatever. It's kind of a weird thing where, especially the last 10 picks, it's not like the last 10 best available. It's just there's usually some kind of like pre-deals worked out or teams discussed or whatever. But I suspect that Denver will, and part of the reason they brought in some of the names that they have lately, there are a bunch of guys that are slated in that 50 to 70 range. And I imagine that Denver, when the draft is over, we probably will get announcement of two or three guys that are joining their summer league team that went undrafted that were right there. I remember the guy from St. Louis they had a couple weeks back. Was it one that stood out? Four-year point guard, defensive guard, really good defensive player. Ohio State, you know, there was one. Even Jason Preston is like his second round. He's probably going to get drafted, but you never know. Maybe he ends up sliding, and he's a guy that they try to pick up. So absolutely, I think that's a very likely scenario that Denver, at least on their summer league roster, with an eye towards, hey, do well here. We want to bring you on.
All right, guys, I have one more. We don't have a fancy graphic for it, but I do have one more. I think it's a good one to close the show with here. Reports say Will Barton is a top priority for the Nuggets. This is coming from a Too Tall Tucker, friend of the show. Do you ever wonder if the Nuggets prioritize their players too much? He's a huge Will Barton fan, but it seems summer after Sunder, most of the time is spent trying to retain own guys and not seeking outside free agents.
I don't think that's true, though.
Oh, it's definitely been true. I think it's fair to say that it is a trend in the Tim Connelly era to retain.
I would say that it's absolutely true that they value our, like, they love their guys. They always love their guys, but they always bring in new guys also. Like, I don't feel like one takes precedence over the other outside of maybe, unless you're saying like bringing in big free agent names from across the league, which I don't think that that's that they don't want to do that. I think that they are operating out of Denver, Colorado, and it's like difficult to sell free agents on the idea of coming here. So they have done what they've had to do, which is to field the team, which is draft people and then get guys that maybe I don't know. I don't know that that's necessarily the foundation of their strategy as so much as it's just like the way they've had to do business.
Can I say one thing, Harrison? Tell me if you agree with this, but Will Barton is a double connection here. Like, Tim Connelly likes to retain, you know, his guys, it seems, but also he likes guys from Baltimore. Like, he has these guys where there's a network. I mean, even Wes Unseld is a Baltimore, you know, a DC guy. So I wonder that somebody threw out Reggie Bullock as a possible free agent. And one of the reasons I look at that and go like, yeah, I could really see that is because, again, he has some DC ties. So, I think with Will Barton, there's almost a double there where it's like both Tim Connelly has known Will Barton since he was 16 or 17 years old. And he's been on this roster for 7 years and has the – I mean, he's going to make Denver better next year, almost no questions. If there is a question to Will Barton, it is it 3 years? What does it do to your cap sheet and all that other stuff? But next year, no question about it. And he has all those ties.
I've got to interrupt real quick. Shout out Peps here. A super chat? How about this?
Holy hell. Hell yeah, Peps.
Thanks for hanging out, Peps. We appreciate you, brother. Man, stretch arms.
Appreciate it, man. Stretch arms.
Peps
are
in. Peps in our steps. Let's go.
Stretch arms. I can't believe it. I can't believe it.
Be a car.
That honestly is the like, of all of the things I've done in my life, which is like not that impressive, but just beating Adam in that draft with be a car and stretch arms was again like one of it. Just is I don't know. It's what I want I want it on my tombstone.
It actually was great for me too, because I saw through the little game that everybody's playing here. It was like, you know, it's like in Russia or something where the president always wins at hockey or whatever.
It's just like that. Yeah,
I saw it and I'm like, oh, I get it now. It's rigged.
Everyone online has that we have.
The fan of the show, the people who vote there, it is rigged. I get it now. I don't feel so bad. My teams are best.
It's probably those exhausting prefaces you do about integrity and morality before.
It's
you
so try. True.
Yeah, and then you discuss the only one
that brings integrity to the
draft. And then you make sure to bring back the integrity of the draft over and over. Now, before you pick, make sure you're not pandering the crowd. I'm drafting of my own heart, which is not only wildly unpopular, but also not a good pick.
the fucking first example Adam went to for that dynamic. I think Wind was going to say something insightful about 5 minutes.
I think it's past. I think we should just end it right there.
Okay, I do want to say one quick thing. The other thing with regards to this year is, again, I keep saying this, like, because there's a misunderstanding, like, as if it's freed up money if Barton walks. Like, they don't have money to bring in high caliber free agents this year. So this is why it's complicated with him opting out. yes, maybe you have long-term concerns, but just as far as if next season is your priority, maybe it is, maybe it isn't, their best shot at adding more talent is retaining Will Barton.
Yeah. Will Barton is a very good basketball player. He just is.
Got better every year, too.
Yep.
All right, guys.
All right. I think that's it. I think that's all we got for today.
Hell yeah. Well, extra pod, bonus pod for the loyal members, faithful members.
Oh, yeah. We're going to stick around and do a little bonus pod. All right.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. Make sure that you sign up for DNVR so you can get more of this.
Do you want to tease the question? Do you want to, is there, like, can we tease the question that you have prepped for us?
Ooh. Yeah. It's what was Harrison's second pontoon boat story? Don't go anywhere.
Oh, wow. All right. Well, maybe you shouldn't have teased that then. Yeah.
No, there are a bunch of member questions in here, though. I just haven't read them yet. So we'll do it. We'll do it live.
We'll do it double live.
Just give us one. Give us one okay. Member question.
Okay, that where is the line for Will Barton? How much money is too much?
Oh, that's a good one. I like
coming
that.
Up.
Well, we're going to get into the nitty-gritty NBA capology.
Oh, wait. I'm supposed to play the outro music. I forgot. Here we go.
All right. We're going to go and answer some more questions on the bonus pod for DNVR members. For everyone else, that's the end of today's show. We'll talk to you
questions
on Tuesday.
Oh, hey, real quick, those member pods, those are private links on YouTube. You'll find them on the site. So if you're a DNVR member, you see the podcast link on the site. We'll tweet it out. Just keep scrolling. Part two bonus pod. It's in there every time. Alrighty.
If you're looking to go back to school, maybe finish up your undergrad degree, or maybe you've already gotten your undergrad, you're looking to go back to school, get another degree, MSU Denver Online is really the best option that you could ask for. Super affordable, and they give you a great education. A lot of the teachers at MSU Denver Online actually work in the field that they're teaching, so it's a great networking opportunity as well. And like I said, it's really affordable. MSU Denver Online is also offering free application fees, so you can use DNVR Sports to waive your application fee at MSU Denver Online if you're signing up for maybe classes in the upcoming fall semester. So no matter what type of student you are, no matter what type of schedule you're working, check out MSU Denver Online today. You can view their entire course list at msudenver.edu/online.